Good morning, my friends. This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. My name is Albert Pendarvis. I'm the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, and many of you may have never heard our old Trailblazer, Pastor L.R. Shelton, who is now in glory with our Lord, how he came forth often blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. But now the Lord has placed us here and laid it upon our hearts to continue in that same manner, calling on men and women to repent and to turn to the Lord before it's eternally too late. Our mailing address, if you care to write us, is Radio Missions,
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785.
We'd be glad to hear from you. Let us know that you're listening. Let us know that you're hearing the broadcast. If you would like to help us pay for these broadcasts, we'd be glad to hear from you. Just address your letter to the Old Trailblazer. We want to continue this morning on the subject that we had been speaking on, and that is repentance. I like to think much about the life and ministry of John the Baptist. I love to read the story of his life, how the Lord called him unto that ministry to go out preaching the gospel, an awakening ministry such as we have here. That's the theme of our ministry, awakening sinners to their lost condition, that the Holy Spirit would do that work. He was a man sent from God. He never sought the favor of man. He never feared what man might do to him. No, he went forth crying, "Repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." He knew that man must repent to be saved. He knew that sin was prevalent in his day, as it is today, and he had been called and commissioned of God to preach repentance in order that man might be saved. Now let's read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verses 7, 8, and 9, if you will. "Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized by him," speaking of John the Baptist, "he said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy or meet for repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham as our father, for I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children under Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire." Now, my friend, that's God's word. His message as he went forth there in the wilderness was repent, repent. As I said, before I know folks don't want to hear God's word. I know folks don't want to hear anything that crosses their old grain. I know that. They don't want to hear God's messenger thunder forth, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent or perish. I know they don't want to hear that. Maybe you don't want to hear it this morning. But I cannot do less than John the Baptist did. No. God's man, God's messenger, God's true messenger, he's never satisfied to do less than those great old prophets did. Great old ministers did. His message was never watered down. He never watered down the message of God. He stood in Herod's face and told him of the sin that he was living in by having his brother's wife. And then what it cost him? It cost him his life. Herod had him beheaded because he was true to his soul. He put his finger on Herod's sin there. And the time came that Herod had his head cut off for telling the truth. Now, my friend, you and I live in a day when we can get on the radio or on the television or whatever and tell the truth without persecution, without the fear of man, even though man won't have it. But he gave his life for the gospel's sake. I wonder how many of us are dedicating our lives to getting out the gospel, getting out the truth to those who hear. And this is my position, my friend. For I must go forth preaching the whole counsel of God. What good would it do you for me to come here and pat you on the back and say that everything's all right, just trust Jesus and you're saved? What good would it do you for me to do that, my friend? Wouldn't do you any good. Not one bit of good in the world would it do you for me to come before you preaching that kind of smooth doctrine. No, my friends, I can't do that, for I know what God's word says, and that is that all men everywhere are commanded to repent in Acts 17:30. Then in 2 Timothy we see instructions for God's servants in dealing with the unsaved in these words. Listen, Timothy 2:24-25. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, and to teach, to be patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself, if God perhaps or peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Now there are those two great old doctrines of God found in that one verse. Two great truths found in one verse, my friend. First, that repentance is a gift of God. No man can repent until he's granted repentance. No man can turn from his wicked way until grace is poured into his heart. The Bible tells us we must repent. But in reality, we cannot until God, in His mercy, grants us the grace to fall at His feet, call on His name, and, my friend, perhaps, perchance, He will grant unto us repentance. Then we see again that repentance is the sinner, the awakened sinner, confessing that he is to blame for all his sins. I know that in this day, we don't see anyone taking the blame, do we? No, the other fellow's always to blame for our trouble. You let some man murder his family, and he'll say, oh, I was abused when I was a child. No, no one takes the blame. But in coming to Christ for salvation, I know that the sinner takes the blame and acknowledges to God that he is the sinner. I know that's the way it was in my life. That's how it happened in my life, there in my young days. I believe that in the believer's life, there's a daily repentance, my friend. We never get through repenting unto the Lord, for we see that we have sinned against a holy God, holy and just and true and righteous God. The awakened sinner sees that it was only the mercy of God that he did not receive justice. Yes, only the mercy of God. Our God is just and righteous altogether. Let me say here, you and I and all men have nothing to commend us unto God. You and I have nothing to commend us unto God. We are sinners, as we say in the message, on total depravity. We have all gone out of the way. There's none righteous, no, not one. And yet let little old puny man stand up in the face of the Almighty God and deny the deity of God. That's what he'll do. He'll stand up and deny the deity of God. The Word of God, as it is, they'll just simply spit in the face of God if they could. That's what they did there at the crucifixion. And my friend, and to think, that he is, think of himself highly, that he is a righteous in God's sight, and that God will accept his righteousness. My friend, the totally depraved sinner thinks that he is somebody come. He thinks well of himself, and unless the Lord ever grants him repentance, unless he comes to God as a poor old lost sinner begging for mercy, God will tell you in that great day, depart from me, I never knew you. No, that's what will happen. That's what the Lord will say to the unawakened, the unrepentant sinner. Now that'll be a sad day, my friend. Just as John the Baptist cried out, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, so I cry out this morning. I know that this is a strange doctrine to some of you. I know that. How many of our folks are banking their salvation on some little decisionism, some little believingism? But God's Word, my friend, just like the old trailblazer has warned folks for years to flee from the wrath to come, and I stand here like old Jonah did there in the city of Nineveh. He went up and down that city crying, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. I don't believe he said anything else. I don't believe he preached a message, as it were, about the repentance and all those things. But he just simply said, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And now, as God's messenger stand here, and at other places, there's other people, other men, true men of God, and cry out, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. My friend, have you ever seen yourself guilty before God? Have you ever been made to feel the wrath of God that is hanging over your head? Have you, my friend? Have you ever known sorrow for sin? Has there ever come a time of sorrow in your heart for sin? Not because you got caught, no. Lots of folks are sorry when they get caught. We hear all these criminals and those who are rapists and murderers and all. Once they get caught, oh, they go before the judge with a Bible in their hands, and they done got religion, as it were. And I see those things, but my friend, godly sorrow worketh repentance in the heart. True repentance does include a hatred for sin, the forsaking of sin, and a resolve to sin no more. Let me just say, in my own life, when the Lord awakened me, that I was lost. I was. He showed me just a little of my heart, how that I was a sinner, and that my sin was against the Lord, not against my fellow man, not against my wife and my family, no, but my sin was against God. And in working repentance in my heart, there came, first of all, an abhorrence of sin. Now, my friend, that's one thing that will come. God hates sin. God, in His wisdom and knowledge and all-powerful, He hates sin. And in the sinner coming to the Lord, there is that hatred for sin made in his heart. And once the Lord saves him, then we are born in the image of God, and therefore we hate sin in a measure as the Lord does. Once I love sin and its pleasure, yes, there's pleasure in sin. Don't let anyone tell you there's no pleasure in sin. To the natural heart, there's a sense of pleasure. But when the new heart is placed in your bosom, my friend, in repentance, then that new heart abhors sin. This is why repentance must come. Man naturally loves sin, and sin cannot enter where our Lord is. When the Lord Jesus comes in to dwell in our heart, when the Holy Spirit takes up His abode, no longer can sin dwell there, because the Spirit of God hates the spirit of Satan. My friend, Christ died for the sinner, but sin must be broken. And so remember, repentance must take place in your heart. It will take place before you ever come to know the Lord. Don't throw the message over your shoulder this morning, my friend, pleading for your souls. Maybe, perchance, that there's one here, one there, out there in our radio audience, who the Lord is dealing with your heart, and you're longing to know the Lord. My friends, the Scripture says, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. You say, how can I repent? Ask the Lord to grant you repentance. Ask the Lord to grant you saving faith, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He says that no man can come to the Son except the Father draw him. Would you just ask the Father to draw you unto Christ? That's my plea this morning. That's my prayer this morning, that God would save many of our people. My friends, we all have loved ones out there in this world that's lost. Many of them are not concerned about their soul salvation. Many of them are running helter-skelter here, having what they call a good time, enjoying the pleasures of life, sending away their day of grace. Did you know one day that mercy will no longer be? Did you know one day the Lord will shut to the door, as He did there on the ark when old Noah gathered his three sons and their wives and Noah's wife into the ark one morning? He gathered them together there, and we know what the Scripture says? It says, and the Lord shut the door. Now, I don't know how long they stayed there before the rain began to come, but those folks outside made fun and laughed and cut up because said, look, old Noah's gone inside the ark now, and it never has rained. What a fool. My friend, let me be a fool for Christ's sake. I'm not ashamed to stand and to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's snickered at and sneered at on every corner of this world, but you and I, our souls are going to live on throughout eternity, my friend. And I'm burdened for your soul. I'm burdened for your family, your children, you out there who have thrown away maybe your life, your family, and sin. But I'm burdened for you. The Lord knows all about your heart. Won't you just ask the Lord to tender your heart? Remember, this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the old Trailblazer broadcast. Our mailing address is Radio Missions,
Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org.
And may you tune in next time, Monday through Friday at this same time, to hear another old-time gospel message on the Trailblazer broadcast. Goodbye, and God bless you.